Okay, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for giving us this Lord's Day. And Father, we thank you for the rain. Lord, we know we need it. And we thank you for providing for us, taking care of all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And Father, we thank you for those that are here this morning. We are thankful, God, to see Ashley. And we just pray you continue to bless her and guide her. Father, we want to pray for Robert Lee. We pray that you will bless his surgery tomorrow. We pray your hand will be on him, be on the doctors. And we pray you'll guide him through it. And we pray you heal his kidney. And Father, we pray for Phyllis and Larry. We pray, Father, that you will provide for them and comfort them. It's a difficult thing to walk through that valley. And I just pray, Lord, you'll surround them with your presence. And please comfort them. Please be with Larry and give him what he needs. And we also pray you give Debbie the strength she needs as she is sacrificing for them to help care for them. We pray, Father, you'll bless Beth Bullhouse's home evaluation. We do pray, Father, that she would be able to come home. Now, Father, we pray that you'll be with Kryn's grandma as she is grieving. And we pray you will, in your own precious way, Father, we pray you'll help her to accept the truth. And please be there to give her peace. Father, we pray that you will be with Bev. We pray that you'll heal her body. Father, we want to pray for Carol's daughter, Jill. We pray you'll provide housing for her so that she can move back. We want to pray for Dalton, Lord, that you'll bless his recovery and his rehab. And I pray you'll bless Larry's visit with him today. Father, we pray that you will bless Paige, bless her time at the Bible camp. We pray, Father, that as your word goes forward, that she would receive it into her heart. And we pray that her heart and her mind will be changed. We pray that the course of her life will be changed from this day forward through Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for Mary Baskins, that you bless her. We pray that you'll heal her back pain. We pray that you'll provide whatever is needed and necessary to make that happen. And we pray you'll comfort her, Lord, even now as we pray. And Father, we pray you'll bless Audrey. Now we thank you that she is doing some things she couldn't. And she is moving around and those things. We thank you for that. But we pray, Father, that indeed you'll help her to recognize the truth. And we pray that the truth about her situation will not be a discouragement to her, but that she would realize that you're in control and you have her in the place she's at for a reason. And we pray she'll trust you. And Father, I thank you for hearing our prayers. What a privilege we have to cast all our cares on you and trust you with them, and lean not on our own understanding. What peace we have because we can come to you. And Father, now I pray that you bless this time as we read your word together and we study it. Please teach us, help us to grow. Please let these things be hidden in our heart, not only so that we won't sin against you, but so that we can declare these things when the time calls for it. Father, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. Oh, before I read that, we did chapter 9 last week, 2 weeks ago. Sam covered for me last week. 2 weeks ago, we did chapter 9. It was the great invitation, the invitation by wisdom. That's why I passed out those things to you today. Just want to give you some assistance, maybe, in your invitation of somebody else to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ so that they can be set free, so that they can come to the beginning of wisdom. Those things are really cool. I love them. I've been passing them out. It's just a good way to start a conversation, a spiritual conversation. It's a good icebreaker. And, you know, if they crumple it up and throw it in your face, just move on to the next person. That's what we talked about 2 weeks ago. Okay, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. He who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. Okay, I had it in my mind for a little bit to do the whole chapter, but I started writing some notes and I didn't get very far. But this first verse really got me and really grabbed a hold of me, and I think we can tie the first seven verses of this all to this first verse. Young people, especially. I was a young person once. There are some things that young people don't think about, right? And one of those things that young people don't think about is how their actions affect their parents. As we see here in verse 1, there's two effects that a young person can have on their parents, right? You can make them glad, or you can bring them grief. A wise son makes a glad father. Foolish son is a grief to his mother. It's important to remember that it's God's will for every young person to honor their father and their mother. It's a command by God. Not to do so is sin. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? Well, when you're young, you are to obey them. And when they are old, you are to take care of them. That's how you honor your father and your mother. Let me show you a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So we're told there, children are to obey their parents. That's when they're young. That's how you honor your father and mother, is you do what they ask you to do. And it's also, you know, implied in there is that your parents are trying to train you the right way. Children shouldn't do things their parents ask them to do if those things are wrong. But back in Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22 says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Do not despise your mother when she is old. So, honoring your mother and father is obeying when you're young, caring for them when they're old. How do people despise them when they're old? Well, it's the issue of, okay, now my parents, because they have health issues, because they need care, now they're interrupting my life. And they can be bitter about that and despise them because of the added burden of taking care of their parents. And that's how they would despise them when they're old. Does that make sense?
We treat them like they're a burden.
Yes. Yes. That's dishonoring to them. They can't do anything about getting old. Do not despise your parents when they're old. Don't get angry with them because their health is failing and they need your help. They need your time. They need your effort. They need your heart. They need your commitment. They may even need some money. In fact, in the book of 1 Timothy, on the subject of caring for widows, that's the idea behind this teaching that Paul gives when he says, if any man does not provide for his household, he is worse than an unbeliever. And this is the topic he's talking about, is a widow of old age who needs help. He's not, if they have children or grandchildren that can help, they're supposed to help first, before the church, you know, takes the burden on themselves. That's what he's talking about. And it's disrespectful, dishonorable for a person to let that just fall to somebody else without... Now, I know you can't. They got to go to a nursing home or something like that. That's different, you know, but But to despise them and not try to help them yourself is wicked, it actually says. Let's see here. Let me read it so I can give you the right word. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, it says, honor widows who are really widows. Because he's given directions to the church. If they truly are a widow, it means they don't have anybody to take care of them. That's what he's saying. And they need the church's help. However, verse 4 says, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents. There it is. For this is good and acceptable before God. Verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, is that just harsh of God to say that, or what? This is how serious he takes honoring your mother and your father. Obeying them when you're young, taking care of them when they're old. Anybody have any questions about that? Pretty straightforward? Okay, let's keep going. Something else that caught my attention when I was studying is that this really is a love issue. You know, if you love God, okay, he wants you to honor your mother and father. And if parents love God, you know, they're told that they're supposed to discipline their kids. And it's interesting, I made this connection because in Proverbs we're told that if you don't discipline your kids, it's as if you hate them. You're showing them hatred by not teaching them the right way to go. And by not disciplining them the way you should. You know my saying, a little pain now saves a lot of pain later. Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. Okay? And in the subject of what we're talking about with honoring your mother and father, I also found that when a person won't take care of their parents when they're older, it's the same idea. It's hatred. Proverbs 15:20. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. Despises his mother. It's hatred toward your parents if you do not honor them. So if you love your kids, you train them and discipline them. And young people, if you love your parents, you'll obey them and take care of them when they need you. Proverbs 23:15-25. This is a big section. My son, if your heart is wise, my heart will rejoice. Indeed, I myself, yes, my inmost being will rejoice when your lips speak right things. There is no greater joy to a parent, which we'll read in 3 John. He said, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. Verse 17, do not let your heart envy sinners, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all the day. For surely there is a hereafter, and your hope will not be cut off. Don't be jealous of sinners. Everything they got's temporary. Remember, we're looking forward to something more than that. Verse 19, hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. Do not mix with winebibbers or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth, and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. And he who begets a wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. I just wanted to read all that to you. I think it's beautiful. An awesome set of instructions to young people. It continues on after that, by the way, a warning against women and a warning against alcohol. Maybe I should just keep going. How about that? Verse 27, for a harlot is a deep pit, and a seductress is a narrow well. She also lies in wait as for a victim, and increases the unfaithful among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine. Those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup. When it swirls around smoothly, at the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things. Your heart will utter perverse things. Yes, you will be like one who lies down in the midst of the sea, or like one who lies at the top of the mast, saying, they have struck me, but I was not hurt. They have beaten me, but I did not feel it. When shall I awake that I may seek another drink? Lots of good instructions for their kids, for your kids. Lots of good instructions for yourself. But young people don't think much about how their actions affect their parents and affect other people. We did see back in chapter 9, when we went through there, that if you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you bear it alone. Every choice you make is personal. Totally, between you and God, right? But here's what you have to remember. All your choices that you make, none of them are private. Each choice you make, even though it's personal, it affects the people around you. Something young people definitely need to learn to think about. And I was thinking about my own life studying this, and I never cared. I cannot remember a time when I was young and when I was running and getting in trouble. I can never think of a time where I thought, I wonder how this is going to affect my parents. Never crossed my mind. Could have cared less. But a little bit later on, I found out how much grief I had put my mother through. Your decision is personal, but it's not private. Oh, let's see. Proverbs 27, verse 11. Interesting proverb I found thinking about this, because one of the griefs that a parent goes through is when someone asks them, how's your kid doing? Proverbs 27, verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him who reproaches me. You guys understand what that's saying? It's a difficult thing when you gotta answer for your kid when they're in a bad spot. Man, that's hard, right? So if 3 John chapter 1 verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth, would it be fair to say the opposite? It's probably the greatest sorrow when I know that my child is outside of truth. It's 3 John, that little tiny letter, 3 John chapter 1 verse 4. That's how I see it anyway. That's how I see it. Let's see, I wrote down another proverb. I don't know why. Let's check it. Proverbs 17, verse 21. Oh, now I know why. Proverbs 17, verse 21. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. Also, verse 25. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. That's why I put that with 3 John. If the greatest joy is your children walking in truth, the greater sorrow is when they're outside of truth. Okay, 2 last points about this. Everybody doing okay? So for young people, this assumes that your parents did try to raise you in a godly home, and they gave you a godly example to follow. But even if they didn't, okay? I know this is going to be Wednesday night at youth group. This is going to come across a little more, but you guys can have this in your heart and you can teach it to other people too. But even if they didn't, that's not an excuse to live like a fool. You don't have the luxury of blaming your bad behavior on your parents, because you're at the age now, you're making decisions for yourself. Even if you live at home, you're still making decisions each and every day, how you obey, how you honor them. The command, honor your father and mother, that didn't come with any conditions. It doesn't say right after that, only if they're good parents. In fact, it doesn't say that anywhere. The best thing you could do for your parents if they were a bad example is to set them a better example. You have the power to do that. 1 Timothy 4:12. Sorry, I'm going really fast. Just write them down. Look them up later. You're supposed to read your Bible later anyway. 1 Timothy 4:12. You guys may have this one memorized anyway because it's very well known. It says, let no one despise your youth, or let no one look down on you because you're young, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And I know it says be an example to the believers, but as I already said, your decisions affect your parents too. You can be an example to them. You guys pretty much know my story. My dad left when I was really little. He was violent to my mom, and I've forgiven him. And that stuff doesn't bother me anymore. And all I care about now is that he makes it to heaven. And so I'm glad when I get to talk with him. We talk on the phone every so often. Because the truth is that stuff doesn't matter anymore. It's in the past. I've forgiven him. We're moving on to something else. We're all called to forgive. Called to forgive. And when you forgive, that means that they don't owe you anything anymore. My dad, you know, he's never really come out and addressed or taken responsibility for anything in the past. I'm not holding that against him. That would be forgiveness. You understand what I'm trying to say? Doesn't matter. I've forgiven him. We're looking forward. Show him love. Show them love whenever possible. To be a fool just because your parent was a fool is not a winning strategy. You're going to lose. It doesn't work that way. And the other thing is, parents, on the other side of that, in a difficult situation, we have to be careful that we don't fall into a trap of being constantly negative all the time toward them, toward your kids that are out of the way. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's easy to fall into the trap of all you do is constantly point the finger at them and continue to beat them into the ground because they're wrong. That's not going to help either. You have to forgive, and you have to continue to try to guide them back on the path. And whenever possible, when something does go well, make sure you tell them you saw it. Rejoice in those things. Because if you don't, you're going to discourage them, and they're not even going to want to try anymore. Does that make sense? This is what Colossians 3:21 means. When he says, Colossians 3:21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Lest they become discouraged. And I remember when Pastor Angelo preached that verse, the way he described it was, you're always withdrawing from their bank account and never depositing anything in. You're always being negative, always slamming them, always complaining about them, and you never deposit anything good in there. Rejoice with them when you can. Okay? I think that's it about that. Let me check. No, that's not it. Sorry. No matter what kind of place they're in, when your young people come to you, listen to them. You don't have to lecture them every time. You know they got it, right? The first 20 lectures, you don't have to lecture them every time. Try to deposit something else in there. Try to take an interest in something that they're interested in. Try to encourage something. As hard as it is to find, try to encourage something that's good in their life, okay? Okay, now we can go. Okay, Proverbs 10, verse 2. "Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death." Along the same line, I'm staying in the same lane, just changing the focus here. When we're talking about young people and we're talking about encouraging them, it's not about money, right? We're not talking about money. We're talking about righteousness. It's not about riches. It's about righteousness. It's about character. It's about honesty. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing. That's treasures gained by dishonesty. That's what he's saying there. It's about honesty, integrity, working hard, and being faithful. Remember, Proverbs 22:1 says, "A good name is better than gold and silver." A good name is better than gold and silver. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. Why? Because we already read in another place, there's an afterlife. There's an afterlife. That's what matters. There's an eternity coming. And in the end, the bank account isn't going to matter. In the end, when the profit and loss statement is complete, all we know is this, that wickedness leaves nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. That's what verse 2 is saying. Righteousness delivers from death. Now remember, we've talked about this so many times in Proverbs, but just like when we talk about wisdom and gaining wisdom, we're talking about following Christ, because Jesus is our wisdom, right? It's the same with righteousness. We don't have our own righteousness to offer to God. But our righteousness comes from Jesus Christ. When we surrender ourselves to Him and trust in Him, He grants us His righteousness. He takes our sin, thankfully, washes it clean, and He gives us His righteousness. You all know the verse, that He became sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Yes. And isn't that really all that matters? All I want for my kids is for them to know Christ and be in heaven someday. Riches won't profit anything. Proverbs 11:4 is a good companion verse to this. It says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. You're not going to be able to bribe God. Not going to be able to bribe God to get out of trouble. There is a price that needs to be paid to get into heaven, right? But you can't pay it. Jesus Christ paid it for us. I love this from Psalm 49, verse 6 and 7. Those who trust in their wealth and boast in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their souls is costly, and it shall cease forever. Meaning, once it was paid, it was paid. There was no more needed. The cost is too high for anybody else to pay it. Jesus, God in the flesh, had to pay it. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God. So that's where our righteousness comes from. By the way, have you heard about the latest blasphemy going around? There's two churches. There's a church in South Africa, and there's a church in Mexico, where the pastors are selling plots of land in heaven. I'm not joking. I don't know how much. I'm not joking.
How did you get that deal?
Not joking. You can look it up. It's happening, and people are buying it.
How did they get a deal for that?
It's probably from the church secretary, I'm guessing.
Even if they buy the land, they got to get there.
You got to get there, even if you buy the land. Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, that's the guarantee, right? That's why they're buying it, because it's like an indulgence or whatever they use.
Yeah, yeah.
They're guaranteeing
all that's their guarantee.
That's their guarantee, yeah. Well, I'm sorry, it doesn't work that way.
People believe anything.
They will believe anything.
Yeah,
the Bible is very clear. You guys all know this. There's only one way to the Father. And that's through Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. Jesus already paid for it with his own body on the cross. Okay. All right, Proverbs 10. That was the second verse. See, that was quicker. Proverbs 10:3. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. So the wise son, he understands that wickedness profits nothing. And he knows that trusting in the Lord is the way to eternal life. And he knows that God will provide. He knows that God will provide. So he doesn't have to go out and try to steal and lie and scam and cheat to get what he needs. He understands that God will provide. The righteous soul will be given what it needs. The wicked soul is never satisfied. Never satisfied. They keep trying to meet their desires, but what happens is it moves further and further away from them. David said, write this one down, Psalm 37, verse 25, David said, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. God will provide. Now, since we understand that God will provide, Proverbs 10, 4, and 5 talk about laziness. That is not permission to be lazy. You don't get to sit on the couch eating Cheetos saying, hey, God will provide. I don't have to do anything. The wrong attitude to take as well. Proverbs 10, verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. It's not permission to be lazy. The metaphor of gathering in summer is really simple. It just means this. Make the most of the opportunities God gives you. You get a chance to work, take it. God blesses hard work. That needs to be said by the President of the United States. By the way, we should have prayed for the President. What a day yesterday was. Proverbs 13:11, wealth gained by dishonesty will be diminished, but he who gathers by labor will increase. There it is. God blesses hard work. What a concept. It's not evil to not have a lot of money, but it is evil to be lazy. That was 13:11. He who gathers by labor will increase. Okay. Blessings, Proverbs 10, verse 6, blessings are on the head of the righteous, violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. God blesses the righteous. That's just a statement of fact. God takes care of his children. He blesses them, which includes blessing their hard work. He blesses you when you honor your parents. What happens is, verse 6 says, the violence covers the mouth of the wicked. What happens is when a person is not walking in righteousness and they're trying to meet their needs, this is what happens. They start doing things that cause harm to meet their needs. Blessings are on the head of the righteous. God provides, right? But violence covers the mouth of the wicked because since they don't have God providing for them, this is what they resort to. Violence. Causing harm. And notice the cycle continues there in verse 7. There is a cycle to this. You know that, right? You will leave behind you when you leave the memory of your life. And it'll either be a blessing for others to follow, or your memory of you will rot. That's what it says. Isn't that something? There's a king in the Bible. I can't remember who he is right now, but I was just thinking about it. It says, to no one's displeasure, he died. find that king for homework. I remember reading that. To no one's displeasure, he died. And he was such a bad guy. You see all through the book of Kings, actually, that all the kings were compared to two people. If they were a good king, it says they were acting like David. And if they were a bad king, it says they were acting like Jeroboam. See how the memory of their name was... David's memory was blessed. And Jeroboam's name rotted. To be compared to him was an ugly thing. So it's not about money. Let's read one last thing in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 30. This is the prayer. The prayer of a girl. I love this. When you think about praying for your kids or think about God providing, this is interesting. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 7. This is a prayer. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Number one, remove falsehood and lies far from me. I want to walk in truth. I want to be known as someone who walks in truth. The other thing is, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. That sounds like Jesus' prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. And then he gives a reason in verse 9. Lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. You know something? That guy understood what we're talking about in Proverbs 10, that God knows how to provide. He understood what Proverbs 10 said about how violence covers the mouth of the wicked. You know, if I don't have what I need, I don't want to resort to harming people to get it. All right, that's all I got for you. We're going to close in prayer. Thank you for being here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time in your word. And I just thank you for opening these scriptures up to us. And helping us to make the application. And I do pray for each of our children and our grandchildren, Father, that you would help them to come to know the truth as it is in Christ, that they would be saved and they would walk in truth and they would have the righteousness of Christ given to them so that they could live lives of contentment and godliness. And so we could be with them forever in eternity. And Father, thank you for your wisdom. I pray these things will be hidden in our hearts, that we would grow, and that we would not sin against you. And I pray, Father, you continue to bless this day. Please bless the service about to start. Please bless tonight's service. Father, please use these things for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much.